And it's time now to head to the community of Yuendamu, which is 300 kilometres from Alice Springs. It's in central Australia. Back in 1971, a group of senior Walpiri men constructed a special building there. It's another museum, actually. It's called the Yuendamu Men's Museum. And they built it to house sacred objects, including ochre cave paintings, which they repainted on the walls of the building. And somehow these murals were all but forgotten, but not any longer. Here's Rosa Ellen to take you there.
It's locked. It's a hot and unusually humid day in Yuendamu. I'm with Otto Sims, who's unlocking the gates of the Yuendamu Men's Museum.
To the other family subgroups and who had disputes.
Otto Sims is one of three senior men who's allowed to show the museum to visitors, although the word museum might be a little misleading. My immediate feeling is that it's like being inside a chapel. Inside the small stone building is a central room with light pouring in, and there are four antechambers, two off to each side of the main room. Each antechamber is completely covered in bright ochre murals.
So that one, that's the great serpent. He's a powerful guardian. We perform that ceremony, Yoruba. Young people perform. It's a special ceremony whenever skin groups come together.
Big yellow circles, water holes, emu prints, stars and serpents. They represent the eight skin groups that make up the men who live in Yuendamu. And these are their chukapa, their dreaming
these
stories.
These are different skin groups. Jambijinba, Janama, Jagamara, Jubrula, Jabaljari Jungarai, Japangari Japananga, and so on. That's an emu dream. That's the Jangala Jambijinba.
In each painting, is this one skin group would do one painting?
Or? There's one skin group, Jangala Jambijinba. As you say, there's one, there's rain dreaming, Jangala Jambijinba again. This one's the great emu dreaming, which is about 20 k's north of here, the great emu dreaming. It represents power and wisdom.
So at the end here, can you describe?
This one, my Jogurba. It's Yanjilbury, stars. I always paint my dreaming. I'm not allowed to paint other screen crews painting because it crossing someone's, you know.
So when you first saw this, you immediately identified your Jogurba?
Yeah, immediately.
How the Men's Museum came about, who painted these incredible murals, and why they've been hidden for so long is the subject of a book by Dr. Philip Jones from the South Australian Museum.
Most of the Walpiri people who made those murals had grown to manhood before Europeans arrived. So they'd passed through. They had the imprint of their culture rather than European culture, and they were not being directed in any way or overtly influenced. Nobody was saying it'd be great if you did this mural, for example. You'll be passing on your culture to the younger people or whatever rationale was there. It was not a European rationale. It was entirely a Walpiri rationale.
It shows the main dreaming that's associated in Yuendamu, this area. So this one's the rain dreaming. That's the hills over there, south of the community. And the middle one is the Janganba, that's a possum.
At first it seemed like a pretty simple story, that these men had decided that they would have a museum and they started to build it, and 3 years later it was open and so on. But in fact, what seemed to happen is that it began much earlier, probably in 1961. And at that time, the idea was from the old men as well. It was going to be essentially a council offices for them. It would be, in a way, also like a club. There were all these initiatives going on, you see, in Yuendamu. There was a piggery, there was a vegetable garden, there was a little mining company that's actually still going. You could say it fitted the ideal of self-determination, but this was before self-determination. This was the assimilation period.
For reasons that aren't clear, the Yuendamu Men's Club never got off the ground. Years passed, a new church was built. Then a senior man and a well-known artist, Darby Jumper Jimper Ross, went to the South Australian Museum and returned to the community with fresh ideas for the building.
So when this revitalised idea for a men's museum came to the fore, the superintendent was able to say, look, what we're doing here is we're preserving Warlpiri culture because these men, these old men who are becoming old now, they don't have the means or even the access to go out and look after their sacred objects in their sacred sites. So what we're proposing is that we bring those objects into this museum and store them in Yuendumu on their terms. This museum would become the microcosm of all of this preservation, so that the objects would be stored in the museum and the murals on the walls would be echoing those out in the rock shelters.
It was to teach the young people, so that they, in the future, they can take on the role to participate in looking after the stories. That was part of their plan and their vision.
The Yuendumu Men's Museum was officially opened in 1971. Photos from the time show Walpuri men dancing up the path to the building, visiting white dignitaries sit in the shade of the little museum, wearing ties and knee-high socks. Harry Jacomara Nelson, who today is one of the senior men responsible for the museum, was the MC. One of the people in the crowd that day was Geoffrey Barden, the art teacher who around the same time was helping to inspire the Western Desert art movement nearby in the community of Papunya. That movement began with a mural painted by Papunya men of the honey ant dreaming, but the mural was later painted over by authorities. Cecilia Alfonso is the manager of Yuendumu's Wollokolongu Arts Centre.
You can't in any way detract from what has occurred in Papunya, but this is it's another story, and it's another story that feels... It's in a different place. It's very close to Papunya. What's amazing is that the mural on the school wall was painted over. What is amazing is that these murals have survived intact. So it complements that story.
The fascinating thing about the Men's Museum is that there will be things that we will never know about it, because unlike the Papunya mural, which also happened in that year, 1971, which has had enormous publicity and is regarded as the sort of founding gesture of Western Desert art, and that was photographed and observed and documented, particularly by Geoffrey Barden, who was actually, in a way, standing over the artists and saying, well, actually, couldn't you do it like this? Well, nobody was witnessing what happened in that museum. It was entirely generated by Walpuri people on their own terms, without any white fellow looking over their shoulders.
It was only for the men. There's a lot of objects here too.
Can you tell me anything about those objects? Not perhaps what they were, but what they meant?
It was just special objects. It's real powerful objects, you know. But when the museum wasn't cared for, all those objects were to remove them back to their safe place in the surrounding country, in the caves, you know. The man was afraid that someone might get the objects and sell it, maybe, on the black market.
Was that something that happened?
It happened. We do know that.
Darby was the curator, and he took visiting dignitaries on tours, and he gathered materials. I mean, he was already 71 because he was born in 1900. He was 71 when the museum opened. But gradually, I imagine, it became more difficult for him, and there was no young apprentice. Certainly by the early 80s, it was already pretty well abandoned.
It would be another 35 years before the Men's Museum and its murals saw the light of day. In the intervening years, Yuendumu suffered from the high incarceration rates of young men. Violent fighting among the community made the national news. Then there was the intervention and the petrol-sniffing epidemic. The mural's artists, men like Otto's father, Paddy Jabuljari Sims, and Paddy Jabuljari Stewart, passed away. The rediscovery of the paintings happened pretty slowly.
The building was at that time being used mainly by petrol sniffers. And so they would go in there and they'd hide. So a lot of the termite mounds were very trashed. It had no electricity, so it was very dark. And recently I spoke to a police officer that I'm still friends with who was here around the same time that I started. And she said she used to run in there with Thomas Rice, actually, chasing petrol sniffers out of that building. And she never noticed the murals.
And they were just in the dark.
That's the amazing thing. Even Philip Jones, who's now writing the book, had taken a look inside the men's museum and he'd never noticed the murals because there were all these shades in this blind system that were drawn to not let light in. And a lot of people have told us that over the years they would go into that building and they never noticed the murals on the wall. All they saw was this sort of oppressive, you know, not very inviting place that looked very trashed. I mean, one of the amazing things is how well preserved the murals are, considering that a large part of the building had no roof and it wasn't sealed, the murals. One day, probably in about 2000 and, you know, early 2007, I was invited to a dinner party in Alice Springs, and I sat next to the head of the heritage department in Canberra, and he said to me, interestingly, the heritage department in Canberra hadn't received any applications for any heritage projects in the Central Desert that year. And I looked at him and I said, I have a project. There were a few key men still in the community that I worked with every day. For example, Paddy Jappaljari Stewart and Paddy Sims, Shorty Jungler Robertson, Thomas Rice is on my committee, Harry Nelson is from that family. We got a group of men for a meeting at the Arts Centre to discuss whether they would be willing to give us permission and through the Arts Centre to do the project. Basically, we protected the murals during the building work, and then Gloria, my assistant extraordinaire, who is a qualified conservator, well, she had the contacts, and we engaged Catherine Milliken, who was from the National Museum, to come up to the community, and we had to go through the borough charter and fully document those murals and do condition reports, and we treated the building like a little bit like an archaeological site. And so she was able to clean the murals, get rid of termite nests, wasps' nests that were over the paintings.
Come on, wait a minute. Where go look at that one there? That one there. Yeah, my yarma hanga bergari.
In September this year, the Yuendumu Men's Museum was reopened, more than 40 years after its secret sacred stories were painted on the stone walls. When it was reopened, two old men were filmed on an iPhone taking a tour of its murals. Thomas Rice is one of the original artists and his friend Joe Bird. The two talk excitedly as they walk along the mural. Thomas points at particular patterns. Then they both burst into song.
Oh, my people, 1,000 again. 1,000 people again who can come in.
They walk around the whole museum, talking and singing the stories in unison.
We're going to read the hotel, just the top layer, not the bottom layer.
And the bottom layer
is a secret. It's a sense of identity, you know, to keep this special place and to keep it operating and to show the stories, what the symbol means and what the story and why and who is it for and what does it mean, you know? And it shows that who you are as an Aboriginal. All these paintings, it helps the person to be who you are.
To see where you fit in?
Where you fit in as an elder and as a Walpri man. It's beautiful, beautiful, because you get a sense of pride and you get a sense of that tapestry of Indigenous culture, you know?
How do you intend to explain this to non-Indigenous visitors?
I just tell them how lucky you're coming here to see what we got. Very people come here, you know.
Wow, what a wonderful story. It's stories like that that just make you realise what a great thing it is to be at Radio National and bringing them to you. Just fantastic stuff. Rosa Allen made that story. She's in Alice Springs. And if you want to read more about this, Philip Jones's book is called Desert Revelation, the Yuendamu Men's Museum Murals. That one will be published next year. And that museum's supposed to be for men only, but as we've heard, the owners have been happy to show visitors around it so far, as long as they treat it sensitively.